Love Line, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician. Board-certified internist.
That's fine.
Someone emailed him and said we should start calling him an internist instead of physician. An addiction medicine specialist, everyone. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, tonight we're going to talk about Cannonball Run, which is on USA, the USA Network, and it starts this Sunday at 10 o'clock. Am I right?
Yes.
Yep, you're right.
Good. Kai is here from Temptation Island, and Jeff Varner's here from Survivor 2, and there are just a couple of the participants in this Cannonball One run.
Cannonball
and I,
one.
I say one because I saw the original Cannonball movie, those old Hal Needham movies used to film without any script, basically.
I think the only thing I remember about those films is the footage of Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise laughing at the end.
Yeah, that,
half hour of them laughing.
I think that was the second Cannonball one, because of the first one, I don't think they were in it.
No,
I just remember cheering the Cobra, the 427 Cobra, trying to beat out the Daytona Ferrari. You know,
thank you,
Huel, being an American boy. But I've seen some of the commercials. I got the idea. It's a 5-day show, right?
Right.
It's almost like Roots. I mean, in the sense, I was trying to think of other TV shows that have taken place in succession where you left off one day and picked it up the next. But they haven't done this in a while, have they, prime time?
I don't think so. I haven't heard of it done like this.
And it goes New York to L.A.
Right.
And five different teams.
Six.
Six different teams, six different automobiles. Is there mixing and matching of teams as you go?
Oh, you stay with the same team, but the teams are somewhat mismatched.
Listen to this team. Listen to this one. A committed, loving couple is paired with the guy's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, that's a good one.
In a car.
That's a good one.
That's bad.
Oh. Well, does they know that's coming?
No, they don't.
No.
Oh.
They don't even realize they're getting a third person until a couple days into it.
Two playmates and a seminary student.
Well,
that's an interesting matchup.
Won't be going back to school. And are you guys paired up?
Yeah, we're in the same team.
And is it a two-man team, or is there a third person
Susan
in there?
From Survivor.
Susan Hawk.
Susan's our third member.
And you guys, what car do you guys get?
We have a 1971 red Chrysler hearse.
She was a truck driver, right? Was
right.
There, was she, did her professional skills come in handy?
Yeah.
I think there's a...
I like those sound effects.
There's like
it's really cool.
What is there, a hearse, and is there a
Cadillac?
There's a lowrider Impala. That was pretty cool.
Now, how do you do this without killing people or breaking laws?
We may have.
Oh, you may have killed people. What are the rules? I mean, obviously, you can't just floor it and go 110 weaving in and out of traffic.
Right,
and
right.
I mean, you have to be some ground rules, right?
You can't break the laws that have been set up. You can't speed. I mean, that's illegal. But, I mean, if your foot accidentally, you know, went down on the gas pedal and you ease up at times.
All right, so you drive like when you're going to the airport.
Something
you know that driving when you're running a little bit late and you don't care? You can't miss that flight. So there's that kind of driving. But then, let's see, how many miles are we talking? Is that 3,000?
Easy, yeah.
And are we looking at then having to cover, I don't know, 800 miles a day or 700 miles?
We drove about 8 to 10 hours a day. I don't know how many miles that was. But
And what strategy would you need to do?
Wow.
I mean, that's too broad a question. But what I'm saying is
not really.
What's just to stop you from getting in the car and driving for 8 hours and then stopping, getting in the car and driving for 8 hours?
For that matter, what's to prevent you from just not sleeping or having sleeping shifts?
We have checkpoints. We have to check in somewhere every night. And the next morning, there's a challenge to determine who leaves and how you leave and what the order is. And
I see.
We can't speed, so it's basically a game of trying to see who can slow down the competition the best.
That's the beauty of it.
Right. So you're encouraged and do F around with your competition.
Mm-hmm. Sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the winner get? Is it $100,000?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So and there's money along the way. You can pick up money at the various checkpoints. You get awarded per your finish. So
they will give the winning team $100,000.
Right.
It's not $100,000 to be whacked up five different ways kind of thing. The winner gets $100,000.
I think the winner gets $75,000, and there's a little catch to it. There's a something you have to pick up along the way that if you cross the finish line with it, you get additional money. And
that's herpes. I was told by the publicist. If you can get herpes on the halfway from New York to L.A.,
qualify here on my lip.
No, that looks self-induced. I'm sorry.
Right, I hit my lip. You're right.
It was caused by a speed bump at the drive-thru. No, and I think crabs is like a bonus $5,500. All right, so this is what am I looking at? Sunday, right?
Yep, Sunday, 10 o'clock, USA Network,
and it'll be unveiled on Thursday, I'm guessing, right?
That'll be the
big finish. Yeah. Are they 1 hour episodes?
Yeah, yes. I think so.
All right, good times. All right, let's talk to Ray, who's 25. Ray,
hi.
Hey,
hey, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Ray.
Good. What's up?
I've been married about 3 years. And about a year into the marriage, my wife, I don't know, she just wanted to get in a little explorative and to the anal sex thing.
Woohoo! Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but the best part is, though, it's like towards me, though.
Someone else's penis?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Interesting.
Right. And, you know, I try to make the marriage work, but that's just like pushing a little too far for me, you know?
I see. Yes. And what did she want to do?
What's your question for us?
Yeah.
I mean,
what should I do?
How do I tell her that I don't really want to do it?
You said this was a year ago.
Sounds bogus.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, Ray. We don't believe you.
No, it's true. I'm serious.
What have you been doing for the last year?
Sitting.
No, I mean,
since you were married 2 years ago, a year into it, she wanted to start exploring. So what have you been doing all this year?
Well, I mean, going along with it, I guess. I mean,
so you've been doing it?
Yeah, but I don't feel comfortable doing it.
Why don't you tell her you're done with that?
What does she use on you?
Her finger, usually.
Her finger?
Yeah.
While you're having sex?
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you're not into that?
No, because, I mean, it makes me feel like a homosexual.
Have you told her you're not into it?
Yeah, I've tried, and, you know, and she just...
Dude, listen, how difficult is it to tell someone you don't want to do that?
Not difficult at all. You know, you just, in sex, yeah, you don't have to talk, you just shoo people. You know what I mean? Like, they start doing something like, hey, baby, no.
Next time she makes a move, just put the clamp on her and take that hand and pull it right out of there.
Yeah, but I mean, I just...
Are you afraid she's going to leave you if you...
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Oh, no. Oh. He's so bogus.
Yeah, come on.
No, this is honest. I'm not lying to you guys.
All right, well, listen.
Ray, please, what do you do for a living?
I'm an engineer at a factory here in Michigan.
Uh-huh. And what happened to you growing up?
Well, I was...
Something bad? What happened?
Well, I was jumped around a lot from foster home to foster home.
All right, there we go.
You got a little self-esteem issues there.
Abandonment issues. You're afraid of the people who love you, who are going to leave you just because you express a preference in your sexuality.
Well, my mom left me when I was 4.
Yeah, no kidding.
And my 3 younger brothers.
We get that. That's why you ended up in the foster care.
Was it because you told her you didn't want the finger, or did she just leave on her own accord?
No, she got hooked up with a drug addict.
Okay, all right. I misunderstood. I thought mom was...
Ray, hopefully you married a woman that's a little more able to stick with a relationship than your mom. And you asserting yourself in a gentle way about... I suspect your wife may be relieved. She probably thinks you're into this.
I don't know. I don't know. My thing is, if you can... I'm looking for a delicate word. Extrude at the right time. If you can just sort of time your bowels, that's enough. Do you know what I mean? That'll keep people away. If someone is trying to put their finger in your hiney and runs into your own finger... your own brown finger, before it actually makes it to your anus, I think that'll slow them down. It's nature's natural defense. It's your ass's natural defense.
Go on, Adam. Please, tell me more.
I've never said this before, but I'm stumbling onto something. I believe that's why poop comes out of your ass.
To protect your ass.
We have a breakthrough.
Think about it. Why else would it come out there?
Well, that is certainly
Otherwise, you just cough it up or push it out your urethra. But... I believe it comes out there so people won't monkey with that area.
Now, that's why you grew all that hair back there.
That's true. That's why God bless me with a hairy crap. That's why I was touched by God in that area.
Yeah. Now, So now there'll be Santa Claus with a cigar references.
Okay.
Right?
All right. All right. Let's just move on. If that was a real call, I really feel bad for our poor Ray.
That was real.
Sophia?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
You're 18.
Good.
What's up?
I was calling because I've been on death row for about a year, and I got a shot like a week ago. Last injection like a week ago.
Right.
And this, like just 2 days ago, I got an MMR, measles, mumps, rubella shot for school. And now, and it was in the same arm as I got the depot shot, and now I have, it's like really swollen, like a mosquito bite.
Okay, hold on. Why aren't you getting the depot in your hip?
I don't know why. It was in my hip once, and then I don't know why I'm not getting it in my hip anymore.
Why don't you get back to that?
Do they always give it to you in the hip, or should they?
There's pretty good volume in that. Yeah, I do.
You mean there's mass there to inject it into?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sophia?
And then the measles, mumps, rubella can cause a local reaction, and also sometimes these needles can introduce bacteria. So here's what you do. Hot compresses, and if you start feeling bad, if you get fevers, or if it really starts swelling tomorrow, you got to call your doctor. You may need to be on some
antibiotics. Well, is there going to be anything wrong with either of them? Like,
no, it's not. No, they will work fine.
What?
Oh, okay.
You get measles shots at 18?
These days,
now?
Yeah.
You do?
Well, no.
What's going on?
The colleges are really, they're really uptight about vaccinations. They're really into it.
Oh, really?
All right.
All right, babe. I've thought about something else. What is that big vaccination shot that everyone between the age of 30 and 50 has on their arms?
Polio? Mm-hmm.
I was looking at mine the other day and looking at a friend of mine's, and I said, they couldn't have put that inside the arm?
They did. They used to do that also in here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why on
they
the
did.
Shoulder? Like some sort of Nazi branding
no, they did.
Idea.
Yeah,
what kind of thinking is that? Well, what is that? We're going to scar this kid for life in a place everyone can see it? Why don't you just put it on your forehead?
Yeah, because
it's a test of manhood.
The muscle. Listen, the muscle here.
Yeah.
I'm reaching now, okay?
What muscle?
This muscle is easy to get into. This one, you can accidentally hit the artery or the vein here.
Why not in the ass or something? That shoulder. So I don't like that thing. And, you know, let me tell you what really bothered me. I was watching some sort of bee caveman movie from the 70s. Guy's walking around in a loincloth. He's fighting a pterodactyl.
Still has the polio
There's the
thing.
Big polio scar. And it was ruined for me. I mean, I was pretty high, but it was still ruined because I knew all of a sudden it was not, 20 million BC. This guy had a polio vaccination.
What do they do now if they don't do this? What do they do?
They do it liquid or something? What do they do with the polio
now? There are various ways to do it, but the polio's gone. We really don't have it anymore.
Oh, we don't need it anymore.
Great.
And what is up that it left this thing? Was it a multiple syringes or something that was going
into
you?
Scarring.
Is it just from one needle, and it created that weird sort of spherical, funky scar on everybody?
Yep. That can't be good.
And what was that, for like a 30-year period, or was that 60 years, or...
I don't know. I think it was a lot. Good question.
It wouldn't have gone back to the caveman days.
No.
No. And they wouldn't have actually fought dinosaurs?
Not with the polio vaccine.
Okay. All right.
Now, you've got to remember, when our parents were kids, their friends ended up paralyzed the rest of their life from a common infection, polio.
Right. But look at us, scarred horribly. Mm. Casey?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. Well, I'm 19 and 8 months pregnant. I'm single, and I was formerly a dancer.
All right, so it's all going according to plan.
No, it's so not.
No, I see.
Well, it used to be, when I was dancing and everything, it wasn't hard for me to find a date. A lot of guys found me attractive and everything.
It was hard or wasn't hard?
Oh, it definitely was not. Okay. So, but since becoming single and a mother-to-be, I cannot get a date. It's pretty much acted as a repellent.
Well,
so my initial question is, do any normal guys find women who are pregnant attractive aside from the father?
Yeah,
they're out there. Yeah. There's, as a matter of fact, there's magazines dedicated to that. Milking and popping.
It's not.
See that one? A lot of guys are into that. Yeah
but it, this
That's
is
what
not
it's called?
Milking and popping.
Oh,
this is, Casey, not an issue of attractiveness. This is an issue of...
Yeah.
You know, it's almost... It's a lot of things. I think guys are naturally, biologically prone to push away from somebody else's child's pregnant, woman.
Yeah.
And assume that there's a father involved in your life, and that, and or the other side is not want to get involved with someone who's going to have a child.
Does it change at all? after I have the baby? I mean...
Yeah, because you leave the kid at home and you lie when you're out dancing.
So. I'm not going to dance anymore, but it's like, I don't know, is it difficult for a lot of guys to, you know, accept another child?
Yes.
Really?
Well, wait a
minute.
Not
impossible, but it's going to be an issue.
You guys tell me what you think of this. I have friends that would not do it, and I have friends who might even be slightly more attracted to that possibility. It's a smaller percentage that would be. Yeah. But I know a lot of guys who have married women that had children from previous relationships. Right. It happens all the time.
No. And I feel like I'm so young, I'm already damaged goods.
No. What it does is it sort of cuts down your group a little bit. Instead of, you know, 20 million guys, you get 5 million guys to choose from.
Adams, hypothetically, do you think being a stripper is a more negative than having a child?
No, because the stripper... Well, I lived with a stripper, so you're asking the wrong guy.
Well, but I mean, do you think some guys would recoil?
No, I'll tell you, yes, a lot of guys would freak out over the stripping, sure. Maybe a larger percentage than than having the child. But the stripper's fixable.
Yeah. But
I chain them to the radiator, and they can't get out. That takes care of that. You can only chain to the radiator for so long, then you got to feed them.
Making choices in your life, though, Casey. They're sort of narrowing the pool for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Hey, listen. Listen. First off, don't base your entire life over whether men are attracted to you or not.
I'm really codependent.
I know. That's what got you into stripping, and that's what got you pregnant.
I know.
And you got to let that go.
Yeah. I guess
I should
start seeing a therapist.
Couldn't hurt.
Yes.
Maybe you can date one.
Or just dance one.
You're out of... Yeah, you could barter. That's right. $90, three lap dances plus tip.
Oh, my God. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good times. And let me just put a word of warning out to a lot of the dancers. I really mean that the 8 out of the last 10 dancers I've got a lap dance from spoke to me openly about their children.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Very bothersome for me and the penis. I do not. And it's my fault for asking, but you always do that small talk because you catch them in between songs. You catch them at the halfway point of Cherry Pie, and you're just sitting there and you're kind of riding it out till it starts the new song when the lap dance officially begins, so you make that talk. Where are you?
What? Blah, 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 blah.
How late you working? Yeah, it sounds like wah, 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 wah. All you go is, here's all you can think. Man, this chick's got bad breath. And then you go, wait a minute, but my breath is pretty bad, too, because I've been drinking all night. I'm yelling in her ear. And then it's like, what do you do during the day? Oh. I'm a mother.
You ask, what do you do during the day?
Well, you sit around, and there's not much to talk about as it pertains to stripping. You see what I'm saying? Like, other businesses...
Where'd you train?
Like,
I sit down
next to a guy who installs aluminum siding. I can talk to him for 4 hours about the aluminum siding.
Right.
You guys put that Sisalcraft weather stripping up, or you just put the siding straight on the paper? What about an application where you got stucco up there? You're going to put some wood runners, or do you just put it right onto the stucco? I could talk for 4 hours. But stripping is like, how long you worked here? 2 days. Yeah.
You meet lots of guys.
You meet guys. Yeah, it's like, how much for one of those 4 ounce mini bottles of champagne? $27. Oh. It's like you sit there, so you start talking like a little like, what do you do? Do you go to school or do you live out here or whatever it is? And inevitably, they go right for the kids. And it's tough.
I'm sorry.
It's difficult.
You should do a piece on strip show etiquette.
Oh, thank you, Drew. Yes, we did that.
Oh, shocking.
Vanilla?
Yes.
Vanilla.
You're 17.
Yeah.
Jeff and Kai are both here from Cannonball Run.
Hi, Vanilla.
What's up?
My problem is last night during oral sex, my boyfriend kept wanting me to put my finger in his rectum.
Wow. This is the topic of the night.
Yep, Wednesday night. Wednesday night's all anal on Love Wednesday night.
We got one that didn't want it and one that's asking for it.
Right. You see, you didn't want to do that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, are you focusing on something else right
now? Okay, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. All right, hang on, screwball. Jesus Christ, I never get tired of hating our callers. It never ends for me.
She's making a sandwich or something?
Whatever, they call the show and they're like distracted. Say hi to Jeff and Kaya, huh?
Well, there's somebody vacuuming behind her.
She was working on something, which is... I don't mind.
I want to know what she was doing.
I
just want to know.
I think she's still distracted and won't be able to answer it correctly. Let's see.
I'm not distracted anymore.
What were you doing?
My boyfriend's twin brother came out and asked for a cigarette, so...
Oh, well, that's... Okay. That makes sense, then.
You got to prioritize.
Cigarettes over love line.
I mean, what's, national radio...
That
boy for a cigarette. No.
That's right.
You get to have priorities.
You're on national radio every day. It's not every day you get to hand a cigarette.
So does the twin brother know that you're calling in and asking this question about his brother?
No.
No. And did you tell him no, or what'd you tell him?
Well, he's kind of got a temper problem.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it was like, I mean, I didn't even want to even give him head in the first place.
Sure.
But he just kept, the pushing down thing.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I was like, whatever. And then and he kept putting my hand there and everything until he actually put my hand in there, my finger.
Right.
And he liked it a lot, but
yeah.
I don't know if it's like, did that make him gay?
No.
No.
Where did this guy go to finishing school, by the way? I like his technique. I'm picturing like a young Tony Randall, Ascot. One of those extensions on his cigarettes.
No.
Listen to the background noise here. Are you like at runway 19 at O'Hare there?
No, he's just a pothead.
Yeah.
That's a vacuum or something.
Yes. All right. Look, first off, any guy who forces you to give him a BJ can't be gay.
Right.
That's number one.
Nor should he be your boyfriend, though.
Yeah.
Can you break up with this guy?
He's a marijuana addict. He's aggressive. He acts out, and he forces you to do things you want to do.
Well, I came up with this last night. Like, I just told him, actually before I even did anything with him, was that every time he like gets high or something like that, I'm not going to give him head.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Villa.
That should be a national policy.
Yeah, I can see no head.
I can see Nancy Reagan championing.
Yeah,
that
Vanilla.
Right now.
You don't understand what you're into here at all. And this is your dad an alcoholic?
No, my dad's a cop.
A cop.
Ooh. Well, they always have the worst kids.
Is your mom alcoholic or
No, she's a nurse.
Oh, they have the second worst kids. The number one female screw up your kid profession is nurse, and the number one male is cop. Followed second by lawyer, would you say? Possibly doctor.
Well, I'm not I don't do any drugs or anything.
No, I understand, but you're involved with a guy that is a drug addict,
right.
And you're making all sorts of excuses for him. You think you can change him. You think you have a master plan where you're going to change his behavior. It means you need to be involved with a guy like this, and he's not a good guy.
Well, you don't think that if, that new rule thing, you think he would...
Oh, well, once you implement the...
because, I mean, it's like...
No weed, no blow.
On one hand, Vanilla, I'm delighted with the... I'm delighted with the reality with which you conduct yourself around the male. That is a good thing, right? She gets it all down to the penis, ultimately.
I like the idea she's making laws that have to do with his penis.
That's right. But the fact that you're doing it around his drug use, that you are excusing his aggression, that's all bad.
Right.
He's not a good guy.
Well, okay? It pisses me off because he's, really smart.
But you can't change him. Go to Al-Anon. You must have an alcoholic.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you're not that smart, so you saying that he's really smart makes him average.
Well,
you understand?
He's in class, in school and everything. He's a genius.
Yeah.
Vanilla, are you telling me your dad doesn't come home and drink every night?
No, not at all. That's a once in a great while thing, and that's the only on occasion.
Does he do anything funny when he drinks heavily? Is he a bad guy?
No, he's a really a decent guy.
Well, and your mom does not use any medications or
no. Well, the only thing about my mom is she was adopted by my dad's mom when she was
Wow.
All right. Listen.
How old were they when they started getting together, the two of them?
They had their first baby when they were 14.
Nope.
Okay. Other than that, everything's fine.
Starting to make a little sense.
Hey, at this point, we prefer he start drinking. Could he do that?
Where's my bourbon?
All right, son. I would also suspect. I bet you your mom's using some chemical somewhere. I bet
you. No, she screwed up when she was younger, and then she.
What did she screw up on? Yeah. What did she?
She just finished college a little while ago.
What did she screw up on?
Just by having kids young. I mean, her dad was sexually abusive towards her.
There we go.
All right.
All right. let's not keep this crap ball rolling. Can you just dump this guy?
I really care about him a lot.
All right. Well,
there's a
then,
book out there called But I Love Him.
Him.
You go read that book.
Shove your hand up his ass. And you forcefully perform oral sex on his stoned penis.
Enjoy your life.
Okay. Have a few kids and keep it going. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Keep it going. Whatever crappy family you come from, keep it going. Have the kids. But here's my point. Make sure you screw your kids up, too, all right?
Right, and because, I haven't any kids.
No, have the kids screw them up, and then they, in turn, can screw their kids up, and we can just keep this big crap ball going.
Yeah.
All right? All right, good times, baby. Right. There you go. Yeah. All right.
The legacy. The legacy that is the American family.
Suck off the bong, no suck off the dong. That would be my Nancy Reagan-esque policy, whether you smoke the weed, I don't give it. And what guy gets high and like starts with this sort of rape light?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. I mean, that's, I see, okay, as a couple of cocktails, that's one thing. But the smoking the weed and sort of wrestling with the lady to give you the oral sex and put the finger in the ass, that's a weird combination.
It's a little bit aggressive. You would think just the opposite. Maybe
the weed is like I get stoned and I like sit up and I go, I should rape, and then I lean back down and go, forget it. I'll rape tomorrow.
We'll be right back
tomorrow. Right? Where's my calendar? All right, rape for tomorrow. And I sit up again. I lean back in, but I can't actually do anything. I could imagine, you know, raping somebody stoned. That's a bad thing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's bad. No, but I mean, this guy's worse than a regular rapist. He raped stoned.
I know. Shocking.
All right. We'll take a little break. Jeff and Kai are both here from Cannonball Run 2001, starting this Sunday on USA, and we'll be back after this.
Oh, yeah. Everybody now.
Yes, I will be right back. Loveline, I'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That'd be Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Harlan Williams, the stand-up comedian actor, will be in here tomorrow night. Jeff and Kai are both here tonight. Jeff, you know from Survivor 2, and Kai, you know from Temptation Island. They're both paired together in the Cannonball Run, which is on the USA Network, Sunday night, 10 o'clock, and it's going to run 5 successive days. And $100,000 to the winner, and you'll find out Thursday night at the end of the episode, I'm guessing.
At the end.
Right, and this is basically pairing up a bunch of, I call them misfits, people that you wouldn't normally find together, and sending them across country. And by the way, twice a year I announce silently to myself. I don't know if you can announce things to yourself. I announce I will drive cross country one day. I always
really?
Do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
Adam,
that's why I did it.
Wait a minute. I've sat here night after night for several years. Mm-hmm. You've never said that ever.
I silently announced it to myself.
We have discussions driving home every night.
Right.
I never said one thing about this.
I think and I've been flying over this country for quite a bit of time now and looking down oftentimes, albeit drunk. But looking down out of the first class cabin.
I just thought you were looking down at the people.
I like to do that, yes. But I do that when I'm at the airport.
Oh, that's right.
I stand
and
up on the chair and look down at the help. Yes, as I wave my first class boarding pass around. But I just flew from, you know, I was in Colorado and I was in Las Vegas. Yeah. And I'm going up to Yosemite this weekend for a wedding. And it strikes me that this country has so much different terrain and so many places. And you think it's populated until you get in a plane and just start flying toward Denver.
Yeah.
And you look down and you don't see anything between L.A. and Denver, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's beautiful highways out there, and what a way to see it.
Just drive to Denver. That will cure you of this curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It will?
Yep. Oh, yes. Because what you see, the you know, the 80, 70, 60, 50, those highways down the middle of the country.
Right.
Basically what you see, about 80% of the ride.
Nothing.
Corn or desert.
Right.
But that's it.
I'm from North Hollywood. That's kind of exciting to me. Like
corn?
Well, maybe not a corn, but like
desert.
A cow. A cow I could get it up for. I mean, you know, figuratively. I mean, you see a cow. I didn't even know what they were called until I was like 26.
What route did the tail? What route did you guys take?
It was
all over the place.
Very nonspecific route. We went we went all the way down to Georgia to begin with, and then kind of cut across the south and went north and then a little further south, and it was mixed up. It wasn't a direct route.
Was it all highway? It was the trans interstates?
Well, yeah. Well, it wasn't all highway.
No, it was supposed to be.
And how long did it take to film it?
10 days.
So it's not too bad.
No, not,
that's not bad for that sort of undertaking.
Yeah, not at all. It's something fun to do.
This and will we see your progress charted on some sort of map or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we can see that.
They may even have a telestrator.
Here they are.
Are there going to be people at the home studio that are sort of commentating and keeping?
I think so. I think there's a host in the studio, and then there were two in the field with us.
And then at the finish lines for each checkpoint, you'd have a big group of people gathering, and then they'd interview you, and like a real race.
Right. And always a chick with big boobs and tight shorts waving a checkered flag.
Yeah, that's great.
That was consistent every time.
All right, let's talk to Diane. Diane?
Hi, Adam.
You're 40. What's up?
Hey, Diane.
Hi. I'm here with my son, and he doesn't understand how marijuana affects him. He's 16 and he's smoking. We just did a drug test tonight, and he tried to put some bleach into the drug test, and so that didn't work. But he's gone through Triad and Youth Services, and so he's learned all about the different things that happened to him, but he doesn't really believe how if he only smokes once every couple of weeks, how much marijuana affects his brain.
First of all, that's not what he's doing, I guarantee you.
Uh-oh.
No way is he smoking once every couple of weeks.
Well, hold on.
No
way. What's his name?
Kai.
Oh, he's on the air.
Is it Kai, did you say?
Yes,
Kai.
All right, Kai.
Cool.
And
Kai, are you stoned right now?
No.
Okay. He was, but now... Mom got on the horn. This is a nightmare, Kai. You're bumming my high, both of you, by the way. Picturing my mom now. So, first off, I want to know about how you tried to get the bleach mixed into the urine.
They put it under their fingernails and they flick it in.
I just want to know, what was it? How did you get busted?
She smelt it.
She smelt it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. You got to admit, that's funny. I mean, Kai, win, lose, or draw, you're going to have a good laugh about your mom drug testing you when you're 16 and you getting popped for trying to put bleach into it.
A for effort.
I mean, you guys would all appreciate that now, right, if you had that story under your belt. It happened when you were 16. And your drug... Now, how does the drug test work? Where do you get it, Diane?
You just buy it at, Long's Drugs or wherever.
You can. You just buy them over the counter.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't buy...
Bucks.
What kind of society are we living in when you can't buy crab shampoo, but you can buy drug testing? This is Nazi Germany. This is no longer the United States. Think about that for a second.
You can buy crab shampoo, can't you?
You can buy the stuff that doesn't work. The stuff that does work, you got to go talk to somebody about. It's great. Oh, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, it's great. Well, I'd like to explain this to aliens. Yeah, we make a few different kinds of drugs. The ones that don't work, you can buy those all you want. And the ones that do work, you got to get in line, pay extra, and get a prescription.
Jeff seems to know a little bit too much about the crab shampoo.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, what do you know about that crab shampoo, Jeff?
You can buy it.
All right. if you know somebody. So, Diane and Kai, right?
Yeah.
So, now, how often do you smoke the weed, Kai?
Probably once every 2 weeks.
No way, Kai. No way, Kai. Please. Come on. Who do you think you're talking to here? Please give me a break.
Once every 2 weeks.
I used to smoke a lot.
Yeah, I used to smoke like every day. Like.
All right, there we go.
Yeah. And how long ago did you smoke every day?
Like
2 weeks ago.
6 months.
Okay.
Did everyday smoking stop 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with addiction: is it doesn't stop unless you stop entirely. It progresses, and as long as you maintain a relationship with addictive drugs, your addiction will progress. And while you think you may be controlling it now, as many young people can kind of control it for periods of time, you're just fueling this eventual progression of this disease.
You have any alcoholism in your family, Diane?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad?
Yep.
Yeah. And so you're an alcoholic. And anything you do, even though you're not using alcohol, the speed, the acid, the pot, the ecstasy, these are the things you're going to use, and they are all profoundly addictive. And at your age, the problem is these things can damage parts of the brain. And also can delay your development or prevent your development. There's some evidence that suggests the right frontal part of your brain, which you use to sort of negotiate development and, the usual psychological milestones of adolescence, shrinks if you smoke a lot of pot. So you don't actually, you have actually no brain there to use in development. You just, all you get become is dependent on the drugs to manage your feelings.
So you're saying it's okay to smoke the weed?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Thank you.
Look, hold on. It's not all that bad. But here's the problem, Kai. I can smoke pot because I don't have the alcoholic gene. You can't smoke pot because you got the alcoholic gene, and you're gonna spin out a little with it. You'll keep going. You'll keep progressing.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
I know. Okay. I know it sucks, but believe me, and I know your mom's a big pain in the ass, but she's really doing the right thing. Because we talk to people all night who are, 10 years from where you are now. The pot has led to many different things.
But not anything of any substance.
Right.
No progress in their life.
Right.
It's the one thing it doesn't lead to.
Right. So that's it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry there, Kai.
All right.
Hey, can I have your pipe? I mean, I'm an adult. I can make decisions for myself, right? I mean, he doesn't need it anymore. All right. And Diane?
Yes.
You're a pain in the ass, but you're a good mom. I appreciate that. And Kai, you do got to appreciate that your mom, who knows your dad better than you do, mm-hmm. and knows about addiction, does not want to see this for her son, who she loves very much.
And Diane, more than as much as bringing down structure, you got to go some Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help him too.
All right, so you got your work to do too, right, Diane?
Good luck.
Yeah.
All right, take
Thank
care.
You.
All right, there we go. Yes, they seem kind of okay. Kai kind of seemed okay with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mom was busting some balls, but not too many.
She's doing her job.
She's doing her job.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Kai. Parents are, that's a job, everybody.
Yeah, right. In our, amongst our calling population, that's quaint.
Right.
A mom's actually a mom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not a buddy or a peer.
Right. And I don't think you should get in your kids' business too much, but if there's a history of addiction in your family and somebody's stepping over the line, then you got to step up. Mm-hmm. Do it because you love them.
Yep.
All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Cameron, who's 15. When he masturbates, his chest turns red.
Oh, good times.
I got to believe it's some of the ink from the porn that is so... sometimes you sweat a lot and it wears off.
Yeah.
I like to rest it on my belly, sort of a bib.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
At the last second, pull it down.
You strip it back up.
Right, strip it down. It's stuck in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Jeff and Kai are both here from Cannonball Run 2001. This will air Sunday night on the USA Network. That's August 5th through the 9th. It'll go five nights in a row. It'll start at 10 p.m. And it'll go from New York to L.A. Why New York to L.A.? Why not L.A. to New York?
I think the original Cannonball was from New York to L.A. So it kind of went with tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Those old races always
Santa
went
from
the
finish line.
Industrial right. centers to the Wild West somewhere.
Yeah.
I guess the country moved that way, so why not do the race that way? And I guess there was like three movies?
I never saw one of them.
Three or four?
There were, but there I remember a couple good ones.
I remember them.
The first one, had the. I'll tell you who was in that driving a Camaro. Busey.
Dick Shawn.
No, he should have been in it. No, that was Mad World. Gary Busey was played like a hick who drove a Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, if I close my eyes, there was a motorcycle in it. I could figure out all the cars in that movie.
The ambulance.
The ambulance was in. Two, I think.
Yeah.
Not in one, and that's when Dom DeLuise,
Captain Chaos,
Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin got into it. This is bizarre. Hal Needham was great. I don't think he had a script.
Really?
I think Hal Needham used to shoot these kinds of, these Burt Reynolds, sort of chase movies without much of a script.
To get off topic a little bit, but people have to understand that when we first heard about Boogie Nights, the last thing we'd heard from Burt Reynolds basically was sort of these kinds of movies.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so Heather Graham sat there and said her next movie was going to be with Marky Mark and Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds. Yeah, it was great. It was like I loved Boogie Nights. I mean, it was one of my favorite movies of the year. I would say probably my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah.
And it certainly in my top 5 of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And I was just talking to somebody about that scene. And Drew, did you ever see Boogie Nights?
Yes,
God damn
I did. Oh, yes, I did.
Remember the scene in Boogie Nights when they went over to roll that coke dealer and they went up to that guy's house in the hills?
Yeah, with the firecrackers.
The guy's just walking around. He's completely coked out. He's just wearing his underpants and the bathrobe. And he's got that little Asian guy just lighting the firecrackers off in the background. He's not paying attention to it. And he's singing Jesse's Girl. And he's really coked out. And he goes, Rick Springfield, friend of mine. This guy's a friend of mine. It was great coke talk. If anyone has been privileged enough to hear good coke talk in their life about how he's friends with Rick Springfield. But Heather Graham was here 3 months before that movie came out, maybe 6 months, and she's going, well, it's Marky Mark and Burt Reynolds, and I play Roller Girl. I wear roller skates.
The
and
whole
I'm like,
film.
Honey, I got to talk to your agent. Because, I mean, think about think about Marky Mark or Mark Wahlberg and think about Burt Reynolds before Boogie Nights. You were like, oh, my God, what happened?
Oh, Adam was like, oh, who is your agent? You're a nice-looking young. You're good at what the heck? You need a new agent. This is ridiculous. For opening shot was well. That's going straight to video.
Yeah. I've run into her a time or two, and she apparently has not forgotten that. But
is that true?
Yes, I did talk to her a time or two.
And she remembered
that.
That's
absolutely.
Funny. That's very funny.
Yes, but I did love that movie, Cameron.
Yeah, I'm here.
15.
Yeah, 15.
You masturbate, your chest turns red.
Yeah, dude, it's a trip. I don't know what to deal with it.
Do you have flush in response to anything else, like sneezing or laughing or?
No, dude, it's just like
just masturbating.
How much weed do you smoke in
Cameron? I don't do it that often.
Does it get up onto your neck and chin, that kind of thing?
What?
Does it get up to your neck?
No,
just your chest.
I don't shoot that far. I don't aim that way. Either.
Oh, you mean?
Come on, dude. He ain't no fag.
I don't aim that way, man.
Do you understand what I was asking about and what he's talking about now?
I do, but the way you phrased it, Drew.
No, I thought he got a flush.
He does get a flush.
I think he's getting a flush where his semen hits.
No, dude, my semen don't hit my upper chest.
Yeah, but where do you get the red flushing?
Even in his gravity boots, it don't make it that low. You know what I'm
saying?
Where
do you get the red flush?
It's like under, like right at the base of my neck, where my clavicle is, and it's like right down there to my nipple.
Is it only when you masturbate or when you have sex?
It's just when I masturbate, not when I have sex. It's trippy, dude.
That's weird.
Really? And really, you don't smoke that much weed?
I don't do it all that often, dude.
Wow, because you really adopted the voice of the stoner.
No. Yeah, the last guy, the guy that their screener.
I was just kidding. This is pure beach talk.
That's what that is.
This is pure beach talk.
Oh, he's from Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Huntington Beach. But your screener asked me if I do acid. And I was tripping out on it, so I was like, no, dude, that's not me.
All right. Well, give it a few months.
Yeah, but like,
all right, so, Drew, what is this?
Yeah,
well, I've heard they're it's mast cell degranulation, if you must know, and there's parts of your chest and neck that people will get these flushes in response to emotional stress, things.
I would hardly qualify masturbating as stress, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Can't remember the last time I was called bro, but.
Don't your colleagues call you that at the hospital? Paging Dr. Bro, dude.
Bro, man, get over here.
Guy, dude, bro, please.
But laughing, crying, you know, the reactions that cause these
he's probably doing a good
vascular
job.
I would say that he probably gets this in other facets of life, but he's not naked.
That's right.
He's not staring at his chest. He's jogging. He's laughing.
Focused
he's wearing a shirt.
Things.
That's right. He's looking for it. If you think about, if you assume the masturbatory position, you're sort of chins down on your sternum, and you're looking at yourself flush out.
I prefer not to have that image in my head going to sleep tonight.
Only thing that flushes when I whack off is the toilet. I'm cool as a cucumber. Many years of experience have taught me that. All right, John.
Yeah.
14.
Yep.
You and your girlfriend are losing your virginity this weekend?
Hope so.
Is she 14 too?
Yeah.
All right.
Have you planned it?
What's the hurry?
Yeah.
Well, we've both actually been kind of talking about it since about 3 months ago, so. And we just thought we, well, a couple days ago, she said she thought she'd give it a shot.
All right. And what's your question?
She emailed me from down at her mom's.
Oh.
And she said that I was surprised waiting for me this Sunday. When she comes back, and I was thinking, what could I do to like repair it? And I wanted to make like take her surprise and double it and make it better.
Well, why don't you just give her money? You know, people always talk about gifts and
buy her own
and
thing.
Stuff. Just give her some money. And she can like my grandparents used to do for Christmas. Here's $30. You get your own stuff.
Are you planning any kind of birth control if you're really going to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to use?
Condoms. Got money.
All right. Oh, he's pumped, John. Yeah.
I got 2 boxes.
Don't forget.
2 boxes.
Oh, like I will.
Yeah. All right. And you're asking, like, what's an appropriate gift for her? Or?
Yeah, to make, like, repair. Or, like,
repay her for services.
Yeah,
you see, bro?
All right.
Like, give her a surprise back.
I see. Well, why don't you last longer than 10 seconds?
Oh, we probably will.
Be all the gift she needs. And, you know, wear the condom and take it nice and slow and be very thoughtful and gentle.
Why don't you wait about 24 months? It'll be the best gift you could probably give her.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Harlan Williams is going to be in here, the comedian actor, tomorrow night, who I saw in Montreal about 2 weeks ago and said hi to. So,
that must be him.
That's Harlan doing a chainsaw.
It's a weed eater.
So you can expect that caliber of entertainment tomorrow night, kiddies.
Did he leave us with anything else?
Was that
That's
all
it.
Harlan
That's the
did?
Only Harlan drop we had? Just out of curiosity, did David Allen Greer leave us with anything interesting last night?
No.
See my finger, see my thumb. We got the ball, you better run. S-O-C-K-I-T, sock it to me. Baby, my head is aching. My hips are tight. I'm hips are shaking from left to right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Cash check, don't take no jab. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on, baby, we gonna win. Oh!
He did this in here last night.
Baby. That's a cheer.
Wow.
He's got a lot of energy.
Oh, man. It turns on, too, all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, he's a performer. Whereas, you know, you've been working with me. I cool down when the lights heat up.
I'm not sure that's possible. You walk in half dead, you remain that way.
Oh, how dare you. Jeff from Survivor 2 and Kai are both here from Kai, of course, from Temptation Island. Plugging away on Cannonball Run 2001. Leaving New York, coming to L.A., 5 days, starting Thursday night, 10 o'clock on the USA Network, and running through to Thursday. And there will be a $100,000 awarded to the winning car. And I want to see, what are those cars, Drew? The hearse?
I saw a Pontiac GTO.
There's a hearse, there's a GTO, there's a souped-up GMC truck, there's an Impala lowrider.
61 pink Cadillac.
Is there
yellow
a vet
Camaro.
In there?
There's a
monster truck.
All-wheel drive thing, yeah.
There's not an airbag in the group, though, is
there?
Oh,
no. Not an airbag, not a radio. Well, I don't know. I guess, yeah. No.
Did you have to sign a few things before you got behind the wheel?
Camaro.
Oh, yeah. About 10 pages worth of.
Yeah, there's really.
10 pages worth of.
Purple Chevy Impala.
6 cars, no airbags.
We had this special thing happening when we were filling the gas tank. Once we got 3/4 full, the gas tank would actually belch out the gas at us and spray us. And that was our warning that we were almost finished.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So every time you put in the gas, you got a shower.
Was it? It's an old Hearst, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hearst. Is there no T in Hearst?
No, there's not.
Hearst.
Sue Hawk thinks there is.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. Hearst. Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of Hearst, the company that makes the shifters for cars.
That's
Drew wouldn't know about. Yeah. Drew, you remember that?
Because I had stickers when I was a kid.
Oh, you had the Hearst sticker. Right. John?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, sir.
All right, so what's up?
Well, I've been dating this girl for about 9 months now. And I knew the whole time she's had a drug problem, like, before we started going out.
Mm-hmm.
And now she moved, and so it's kind of long distance now, but we still keep in touch. We talk every day almost.
What was her drug?
Yeah, which drug?
Cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And she's in rehab now, a very extensive rehab program. And the thing is like, I don't know what to do with our relationship, I guess. She's not emotionally available to deal with the relationship right now. She's to deal with her stuff. Really don't know what to do with...
You're confusing me. Does she want to break up?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We both care about each other.
Stay with me here. Does she want to break up?
No.
Does she want you to participate in her treatment?
Well, no, I can't because she's away right now.
I understand. Did she ask you to participate?
She wants me to come up. Well, whenever I get up there, I'm going to go to a session with her, like a group counseling that she goes to and stuff like that.
Because she asked you to?
Well, yeah, because I want to.
I understand you want to. I'm asking if she is inviting you and asking you to participate in her treatment.
Yes, if the opportunity arises, because I'm...
Hold on, Jeff. You see what it's like for us night after night. I'm getting the kind of vibe that she's kind of trying to cut things off.
I think she is neither here nor there.
Right.
But he's a real true codependent, and he's going to be all over her. And I suspect she did not ask him to participate in the treatment, but he's going to go do it, goddammit.
Well, each time he answers it starts off as if she'd asked him to participate.
Except when I ask that.
And then there's a little explanation.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end, it sort of trails off.
Well, it trails off if an opportunity presents itself.
Right. John?
Yeah.
Let's get a little more history here. How long were you two together?
About 9 months. Well, we spent, 6 months together. Almost
6 months. All right, 6 months. How long have you been apart?
We broke up about 10 months ago, if you deduct 5 months from the previous number that I gave you. So 10 minus 5, 5 months.
We haven't been together physically for 3 months.
So you've been away half as long as you were together.
Yeah.
And do you think she considers you her boyfriend?
No.
No. Mm. Okay. I was sniffing this one early. I think you guys the relationship may be
non-existent.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's up with you, John?
Well, she's been distant the whole time. Me, I'm trying to deal with the feelings that my feelings have grown for her the whole time. And
yeah, there's no relationship here.
Well, there was a relationship when we were together, but when she moved and started rehab, she started going through, her changes that she has to go through rehab.
Well,
and stuff
she
like
stopped getting high, basically.
Yeah,
I mean, she was high when you were together with her.
No, she wasn't on coke. She was clean the whole time we were together, but she was taking Ambien to sleep, and she was abusing that. So,
all right, she was on drugs the whole time we were together.
Well, a little Ambien. Come on,
John. Please, don't think of a qualifier. She was on drugs the whole time you guys were together.
Well, she's taking a sleeping pill.
Yeah, what's Ambien again? Hypnotic benzodiazepines.
Sleeping pill.
Yeah.
Hey,
hypnotic.
She has insomnia also.
Okay. But, John, here's the question. What are you doing trying to save her? You're 22.
I'm not trying to save her. I care about her.
Why are you so hell-bent on this person who doesn't want a relationship anymore?
I suppose we have a lot. We have a very, very big potential to be something.
Ooh,
John,
scary.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. It's what I used to say about Adrian Barbeau when I was 15. We had a lot of potential.
And at 15, that's sort of normal to say that. At 22.
Oh,
you have to look at your reality for what it is, and you can't just look for your potential. You have to see the situation for what it is right now.
How old is she?
She is 19. Mm.
All right. And, John, you, what do you do for a living?
I wait tables. Go to college.
Okay. And it seems like maybe you don't get a ton of tail.
I did get my fair share before we were together, but I'm...
Oh, you did?
I'm pretty exclusive.
Okay.
When I'm with somebody. So.
Anything else we should know about her? Is she a stripper or dancer or anything like that?
No, she's in college also. She's going to medical school. She wants to go to medical school, but this whole thing might screw that up, so...
All right. So, John, you sound... we just like you to live a little more in reality, that's all.
Okay.
It sounds to me like she's sobering up, she's trying to get her head together, mm-hmm. and you're way on the back burner. And you haven't seen each other for quite some time.
Well, no, I saw her actually about 3 weeks ago. She came down and saw me. and I went up and saw her maybe about a month ago.
Did you have sex with her?
Yeah, that's my question.
No, we haven't had sex at all. We mess around a lot, but we haven't had sex.
She's going to, if we were to ask her what's the nature of this relationship, what do you think that answer would
be? I think we'd start, she'd start with the John Who.
Yeah.
She knows me. I mean, she knows me.
Oh, John, right, from,
She doesn't know how our relationship is. She doesn't understand that. She can't right now.
Oh, John.
John, what's up, buddy?
Time to move on, John.
What is up with you, John? You're living in a fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're having the relationship for her.
I was pretty much carrying the whole thing.
Right. John, you're still doing it.
You're stalking her.
I'm not stalking her by any job of anything.
No, but listen.
But that's what stalking is.
But John, when you're...
She calls me, I call her, and we have a relationship that way. We're really good friends, and
right.
I guess I'm still holding on to feelings that
I've
had.
Right, right. That's what it is.
I just don't know what to do with those. That's what I'm asking. You're,
get another girlfriend.
Yeah, go out and just meet other women immediately.
That's right.
Tonight. Start now.
What's he calling from Texas? What is it, 2 a.m?
There's still something open.
The point is, you know, it's funny when people go, I'm carrying the relationship. Because here's the deal. I'll do the math for you. When the other person isn't in the relationship,
there is
you can't carry a relationship.
There is no relationship.
You got an empty knapsack full of nothing. I mean, there's no relationship to carry this person not in. Oh, well, she's in rehab.
She doesn't
her head
see the
together.
Same potential that I see. It's like, oh, please.
There's no fulfillment.
That is such awful BS.
Yeah. But, you know, as guys, we've all done that before.
As teenagers.
Yeah, he's getting a little old for that now, that sort of heavy fantasy. And how did we know they weren't having sex?
I would just love to hear her version of it. John who? Oh, he's such a good friend. I love him. He's always there. I call him all the time.
He bought me tennis bracelets. So I gave him a handy once.
Oh.
All right. John, we're giving you tough love, but we you're in college. You seem like you're doing okay for yourself. She's far away and out of commission. Don't save anybody. Just find an equal.
And by the way, she is going to be instructed not to have a relationship for the next 12 months.
Right.
So, lay off.
Scott?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I love this man show.
Oh, thanks.
I just got two quick questions for Drew. This morning I found, it looked like what's a pimple underneath the base of my penis.
Right, you can get those.
Yeah, and it just popped like a few hours after I called in, like trying to go to the doctor.
Good times.
Yeah, just wondering.
You were trying to go to the doctor for that?
To get it looked at. I didn't know what it was.
That's
what
fine.
A puss. At 20? Wouldn't have done that.
You know what it is? Or?
But, yeah, that was it.
I didn't know if you could get them down there.
Yes, you can.
But
they're a little bit different, but that's basically what they are.
You can get a zit on your back. You can get one on your forehead. You can get one on your neck. You can get one on your penis.
Get one on your nads.
Get one on your nads.
You're in the clear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, one other question. I'm not circumcised. And when I have sex, I can't pull the tip, the forehead, the foreskin past the head. And I was just wondering, do you know what are the dangers of getting circumcised in my age? Or
it just hurts.
Really?
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons people get circumcised, is they get the stenosis of the foreskin like
can
that.
Can they give you, would they give you a general or local? I mean,
I think they might use a spinal. I don't know.
And, Drew, weren't we talking the other day about there's local, there's general, and there's, what's the third?
Spinal.
Spinal? I thought it was another thing.
Well, there's twilight.
Well, one the locals when, all right, they just shoot your penis.
Right,
or
the nerve, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The general's where you're asleep.
They take, you're more than asleep.
You're not
breathing, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, and this is what I'm trying to think of.
Twilight is when you're asleep.
Twilight is the in-between the local and the general.
Yeah.
Because they put you to sleep. But they don't
you're
have
breathing.
To hook you up the
right.
machine.
Right.
All right. All right there, Scott.
All right, thanks.
Good times.
Yeah. When I had my hand surgery, I had the twilight, right?
Oh, I'm surprised they could even...
I had a big argument with the
guys. I was
going to
say, I could just imagine, like, come on, more. I don't feel it. Come on.
No, I had my, you know, I had a great argument. I had some surgery on my hand about a year ago, and I had this great argument with them about why... They didn't need to take my underpants because you go into a hospital and they're like, hey, give me the underpants. And you're like, I'm here to pick up my brother. They're like, I don't care. Give me the underpants. And you're like, I'm just going to be in the waiting room. Sorry, we need the underpants. It's like, okay, listen, I understand you want the underpants. How about a goddamn bathrobe? Not one that ties in the back while I'm all drugged up so my hairy ass is hanging out all over the place. Drew, what is that? Are they intentionally trying to humiliate their patients?
Yes.
They give you a gown, which is...
There's a giant basket as you walk through the door. You saw that. Leave dignity here.
Yes. It's like some sort of prison camp where they're trying to break down the people that are in there.
Sure. It's the man's operation.
We need the panties. Give me the underpants. Do they need the underpants for hand surgery? Hand surgery.
You're not going to be awake, and who knows what kind of restriction of blood supply that waistband might ultimately result.
Give me a worst case scenario about me having my underpants on while you're operating on my left hand. What's the worst goddamn thing that could happen? I kept saying to him, like, it's policy. We're going to need, you know why we need the underpants? In case you get an erection and you have to walk around with the boner in your sheer gown on, like one of the Stepford wives. And the thing's tying the back, and of course, after the hand surgery, you're not doing a lot of tying. First off, I don't know how to tie stuff behind my back that well, especially when it's up from the small of the back a little bit. So inevitably, it's getting hooked on stuff. Your ass is hanging out. It's sheer. It's cold. Let us keep the underpants. That's all I'm saying. Or if our underpants aren't good enough for the hospital,
provide us with
some underpants. I like underpants on. I go to the beach, I wear underpants under my shorts so my nuts don't hang out. I'm lying drugged up in front of a bunch of strangers and I want my underpants.
As I recall, you had quite a crowd around you arguing about this.
I just want my underpants. You're doing hand surgery.
I came visited you, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, maybe you did.
Yeah.
I don't remember
what that crowd was.
Yeah. All right. What the hell's going on? Where were we, Drew?
Okay.
Ironically enough, I'm not wearing underpants right now. Isn't that funny? That's a big argument. Tanya?
Yes?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I had a question for Adam, basically, because you're, host the man show, and I want an opinion, really. What do you think of women with pale breasts? Not small ones, just pale ones, where you can kind of see the veins. I mean, unfortunately, I've had an instance with a guy, and he wasn't too hot with them. So I was wondering, just as an opinion.
What if you got
ones that are—they're little, like almost translucent. Like
no, you can see them. Unfortunately, I have two colors on my skin: white and pink. Those are the two colors. I've tried tanning cream. It's just blotchy.
Even when you tan.
And I have cancer in my family, skin cancer. So of course, I'm not really big on tanning too much, and I'm leaving for Germany in 2 days. I just wanted to find out.
You can tan naked in Germany.
What do you see? You see the glandular material under the skin?
You can see the veins. You can see the blue. It's not, it's just white, and you can see blue and different things like that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. You had some guy react negatively?
Pardon?
You got some guy react negatively?
He just wasn't, he's more into the Britney Spears look, I guess, or something. So, I mean, they're not small and, at all. And
you have large breasts?
Well, 32D.
Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah, that's
good. What's he complaining about?
Nothing crazy. Well, I'm just curious. I want to know if all guys think that way.
I want to know. I want to be a fly on the wall here. What actually went down here?
Oh well, making out. He looked down my shirt and he was like, went back to making out. It was just not an incident I usually deal with, kind of thing.
Did he say? Did he recoil or react or say something?
It was a look. I was like, let's just keep kissing.
But he didn't say anything.
No, not really.
Maybe he's not into,
Or maybe he didn't even notice that, and it's your insecurity about it.
Yeah. It could be that. I'm not sure. I just was curious.
Wait a minute. You have a big, beautiful rack, though, right?
Yes, I
mean,
do.
You're proud of that.
Yes, I am. But
because you wouldn't be calling up talking about how unattractive your breasts were unless you really felt they were attractive.
Well, but I wanted to find out a guy's opinion, A girl is completely different. We have, we have at least some self-esteem normally. I have some self-esteem.
Yeah, but women are pretty good judges of
Hold on. You have no self-esteem or you wouldn't be calling this crappy show. Please.
No, I'm just curious because then if I have the chance, I'm going to go ahead and, no big deal. Go to Germany, No big deal.
Right, but if I put the kibosh on the whole thing, you'd cancel your trip tomorrow?
Yeah. No, of course
not. Germans are notorious for hating veiny breasts.
Of course not. I will not.
The four of us are looking at each other bewildered.
Tanya, let me get some stats here.
Okay.
You're 32D,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Which is a great combination of numbers because you have this small. People mistakenly think, oh, she's a 38, she's a 42. That just means a big back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just big shoulders, big lats, and oftentimes fat. What you want is a small first number and what I got basically in high school. That's what you're looking for as far
as grades. High school math grade?
High school math grades, which you're looking for, you know, G. 30. If you find a 32D, that's a nice, that's a winning combination.
I don't know.
Calm down. How tall are you?
What?
How tall are you?
About 5'9".
5'9", and how much do you weigh?
About 135.
And, wait a minute. Right.
5'9", that's tall.
Now, I'm picturing a big ass now.
No, why? I run, I swim.
5'9", 130.
My mom jogs and she's got a big ass.
Wait, 135, that's pretty thin.
She's 135 on the radio.
You're right.
She's at least 140.
What about 150? You know, I range between those two.
What do you range between?
About 135, 140.
Okay. All right, I'd say your range goes up to 150.
What?
Okay, but just listen. Quiet down, Vanny. So, but you have the big rack.
Yeah.
And how's the shape?
What do you mean? Like, don't point out their round?
The shape of the breast.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky with
Okay. And guys, look, that's number one and number two.
Uh-huh.
And whatever color or shade they are is a distant third.
I'm sure you, being the connoisseur that you are, have never mentioned color.
How big are the areolas?
Oh, my God.
Well, seriously. Huh?
I don't know. Well, if I put my fingers together, like, at the thumb knuckle and I guess my hand or whatever, it's about less than an inch or so or something. I don't know.
Your thumb knuckle and your hand?
Wait, no. I mean, like, it looks like about less than an inch or so.
Well, okay.
make the okay sign.
I haven't looked down my shirt or anything recently, so.
Well, I love when people do that. You've been living with your nipples for 18 years. You think I got to look down my pants to size up my balls?
Maybe.
I weigh them every morning. Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't know, Adam. Do you? I'm sorry.
All right. Listen, screwball. Your breasts are fine. Hopefully, you'll meet a lot of nice guys in Germany.
Okay. Thank you, Adam.
All right. Good times.
No man show in Germany, Tanya. Sorry.
Yeah. I was my brother-in-law is a German guy, very very uptight.
Which reminds me, we should sell this show in Europe. There's so much crappy American talk radio.
Oh, there is.
I lived in Germany. This
it's unbelievable.
Well
Germany. It's unbelievable.
Really, it's English.
Yes, a lot of
bad English talk in Germany.
Yeah, I mean American. They really like American programming. For some, they had Jay Leno, The Tonight Show.
There's American.
But on the radio, they have American radio.
Yes,
shows.
Yeah,
over
the radio shows too.
In Italy, there was Shreveport Morning Show.
Oh, really?
I mean, like crappy local morning shows sold over to Italy. It's like unbelievable.
Interesting. And it's just on the radio, not on the internet or anything
radio.
Like that.
On the radio, driving through, Tuscany, listening to crappy American radio.
Really?
I thought, why is this?
Maybe there's something to this sort of, maybe they think it's quaint to have this sort of small town radio.
No. They're being extra cool, making lots of references to stuff in Hollywood. I mean, it's bad.
So wouldn't they want a radio show from New York or L.A. or something
like
that?
Yeah.
Okay, Drew, stop coming to me with your ideas. Go sell them. Would you? You have my blessing. Drew comes to me about every 3 weeks and goes, we got to make a movie. We should write another book. I'm thinking of doing a Broadway play. Here's my answer to all that. Go ahead.
Enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy. You have my blessing. I'll take half. Just get busy. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Jeff and Kai are both here from Cannonball Run 2001. This is on the USA Network Sunday night, 10 o'clock. Coming up this Sunday, going through Thursday, 5 days, 3,000 miles, and lots of danger and laughs along the way. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Jeff and Kai are both here. Jeff, you know, from Survivor 2, and Kai, of course, from Temptation Island. And I'm eating. This snuck up on me. Cannonball Cannonball Run 2001 is going to be on USA Today starting this Sunday. I mean, USA Today, yeah. USA Network, starting this Sunday. And it's going for 5 days, and there's going to be $100,000 given to one of the six cars, whichever crosses the finish line first.
Could be mine.
But it could be.
Yep.
Now I think it's not, though, because you wouldn't have kidded about it being your car. Nah. I think they would have told you not to do that. So you're out. I'm thinking now it's the Playmates. Who do we have again? We have...
the hip-hop car.
Hip-hop car.
The boyfriend-girlfriend car.
Hillbillies.
Hillbillies, the frat boys and the grandma.
Yeah.
It's really like the Wacky Racer.
Yeah, yeah.
Those cartoons?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Penelope Pit Stop.
Dastardly? Dastardly, was it?
Yeah. Dick Dastardly? No. They didn't kid around with dick names back then, did they?
Chumley the dog. What was the dog?
Chumley was the dog that was always laughing and screwing up his own master.
Was that Chumley?
Yeah, that was Chumley. And then this was a cartoon from our childhood.
Or was Chumley Tennessee Tuxedo's walrus friend's name?
That was Chumley, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So what was the dog's name?
Snidely? Snidely?
Snidely?
What was the name of the lumberjack?
Oh, what's the cartoon you're talking about?
Talking about Wacky Racers.
It was originally Penelope Pit Stop, I think.
Who cares? No. What was the name?
Yeah.
What was the name of the lumberjack?
You know it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Rufus Roughcut. Yeah. Drew, you know it was, too, right?
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Early 60s cartoon series.
Not early 60s.
Mid-60s?
I'd say one into the 70s.
Really?
Well, I was...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
I was born in 64, and I watched it when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, so it must have gotten to the early 70s. James?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, good. You're 24?
That's right. I called a couple months back, actually. And this time I actually have a real question. But first I'd like to sing your praises a little bit, if that's all right.
All right.
I've been listening to the show for 6 years since, should I mention his name on the air? I don't know. Ricky Rackman? Mm-hmm. Whatever. Love the service you guys are providing. It's nice to know that in these dark times that there's a beacon of hope, not just with sound advice, but with genuinely funny and high-class radio. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, James.
And thank you, Dr. Drew.
Thank you, James.
Okay. All right. So basically, here's the deal. I recently had a... oh, God, I can't think right now. I'm sorry. I just had a circumcision, and he gave me a general anesthetic for it.
Wow.
Very, very...
Didn't you ask? You asked if that's how they do it, right?
Right, yeah. But he didn't get the general. They didn't give him the general. They gave him the Twilight.
Right. No, I'm sorry. I'm just talking about, you know, my situation. That's the way they usually do it, as I was told.
What, general?
Yeah, they'll usually put them out.
Wait, hold on, Drew.
Listen, you got to understand, as a doctor, people think of general as being asleep,
right, yeah,
not as being hooked up to respirator.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
So we're not under general anesthetic.
No, in his mind, he was, but he's saying he was put to sleep. It wasn't like he was getting a tooth filled and they shot his gum or something.
But you weren't given a mask of gas.
A tube down your throat.
Yes, they did put a tube down my throat. As a matter of fact, I woke up with a tube still in my throat, and I didn't know it. And the nurse at the end, she said, "Okay, I want you to breathe in and breathe out." I breathe in, and as I'm breathing out, they
pull out the tube.
Yep,
that's general.
So bad.
That's general, yeah.
They put the tube in. For the Twilight, they give you the mask.
No.
I got the mask.
Well, it's just oxygen.
Oh, all right.
You got a mask for your hand?
No.
All right, whatever. No. All right, they gave you the general. They had you put under a general for your circumcision.
That's correct.
All right.
Mm.
Wow, and you had that done how long ago?
About 3 weeks.
And how?
Actually, Drew, I was going to ask you, I have quite a bit of sensitivity still there. I guess I would after 3 weeks.
Right.
At the surgical site.
So I'm guessing that's normal.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
All right. So how's it healing?
It's healing pretty good. I don't know. I'm still, you know, getting used to
you know, going from a hard top to a convertible, but
right,
yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, why did you have it done?
Top,
I had to have it done because I had phimosis, which is basically stenosis of the foreskin. Yeah. That Drew,
the end closes up, and you can't get the head through the turtleneck
right.
sweater, as it were. But what'd they do with the foreskin? Did you get to keep it?
Yeah, I keep it in my fridge. No, you know,
fried
I
it up.
Was gonna ask
calamari.
I could see it after the procedure, and I had completely forgotten because I guess I was so drugged up and out of my mind that.
True. Now, how does it work? Would they give you it if you asked for it? And the answer's probably no.
They might.
You can get your, like, gallstones stuff, right?
Would they give you a cyst if you were to ask for one? Because, or, like, I had a tumor that was taken out of my upper lip, and I forgot to ask, too.
Yeah, well, you got to start making notes for yourself, Dave.
Oh, I know.
You're very confident going in, and then you get put under, and you lose it, and you forget about it. That's why I made a note. Get underpants back. Make sure and double down on Vicodin. Those were the two notes I made. So when I got up, I'd be prepared.
What was the name of that dog?
Just drive me insane. Snidely Whiplash.
Do you have an old TV, Anderson? An old TV director.
Drew's focusing on the wacky racers now. Is that what's going on?
It was, and at one point, it became named after the dog.
The show?
And his friends kind of thing. Yes.
Okay, what was the guy's name? Dastardly something? Snidely.
No, that was Dudley Do-Right.
No, Dudley.
Snidely Whiplash.
Yeah. All right. Wow. You guys remember Dudley Do-Right?
Not at all.
Oh, my God.
Not heard of Dudley?
Never heard of him. I've heard of it.
Oh, my God.
I don't know who
Shocking.
It is.
Kai, how can you not heard of Dudley Do-Right? They made a movie about
you've
it.
You've heard Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh yeah.
I heard Rocky and Bullwinkle. Yeah.
Okay.
He was in Rocky and Bullwinkle.
He was the cartoon between the Rocky and Bullwinkle episodes.
He was in the series. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No Dudley Do-Right. Huh?
No. Underdog.
All right. Well, that was a good save there. still
just
a little suspect.
Throw another '60s cartoon. Make you feel better.
Smart. Very smart. Samantha.
Yes, this is Samantha.
Yes, you're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
My question is for Dr. Drew. Okay, before I got pregnant, I was smoking weed. And after I found out I was pregnant, I just completely stopped. But I want to breastfeed after I have the baby, and the baby's due August 5th. And I'd like to know if the weed affect me breastfeeding the baby, or would the baby be affected by it?
If you were to continue smoking?
No, if I was to smoke, you know, after the baby is born and I breastfeed, would it affect the baby?
Yes.
It would?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Nah, don't. You're mama now.
Mm-hmm.
You're now your mama, you understand?
I didn't want to. I just wanted to know because I was just curious.
Right. What about it, Drew? Is it how
it's
big
in
a
fat. It's concentrated in fat, so I would think it would be concentrated in breast milk.
All right. Where's Dad?
Dad is at work right now.
All right. You guys married? Is it working out?
Well, we're supposed to be married in September.
Cool.
Okay.
Good.
Good. How many kids you have?
This is my first.
Okay, good. Now keep it that way for a while.
Yes, nice. I intend to.
Nice. I like Samantha.
All right, Samantha.
All right, thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. That's like a regular sort of normal call. We rarely have that on this show. I didn't have to abuse her or anything. Michael, you're 22.
And you're operating a cash register.
Okay, listen, hold on. Somebody call this show and tell us the name of the wacky racers.
The dog that sat in the back of the villain's plane.
Yeah. He flew that old triplane.
And he had a strange laugh.
Yeah. You know what? You guys don't know that dog?
No.
He spun it off into a few different things.
Right.
No, it wasn't gee-gee-gee-gee. I can't do it, but he'd go...
He was a smoker.
Like someone who smoked was that sound they make just after they're done coughing. Yeah.
Sort of a
Sesame Street dog's name.
I've been trying to think of that dog's name, honestly, for 2 years. I don't
Why?
Remember.
Really?
2 years.
For like 2 years.
Would you have a TV director in old TV?
Hold on.
Motley?
Motley. Thank you. Sarah just came up with it just then.
Yes, Muttley.
Brilliant.
It was Muttley, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
This is a guy who didn't know who Lidsville was, though. He didn't know Lidsville.
Never,
Have you been trying to come up with Muttley? Yeah, you should have been here the other night, Drew.
What happened?
I know this show spins off into so many different directions. Have nothing to do with helping people.
Whatever.
Did you know who H.R. Puffin stuff is?
I was sitting here.
Witchy Poo and all that.
I was sitting here all alone when you weren't here with somebody filling in, another doctor.
Yeah.
Apparently, doctors just don't know anything except for about doctoring.
Yeah.
Me, the doctor, we had a guest. There was Anne over there. Anne is basically your worst ally in any situation because she doesn't know anything.
Producers are vastly overrated.
Who was that?
I don't know who that was. But the point is what was that, Anderson? What was that?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's good radio.
The point is, it's me and eight people, and I'm talking about Lidsville, and every one of them is looking at me like I'm high as a kite.
Oh my God, they're
going, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard that. And I'm like,
what?
Oh, please, Anne, you know Anne, and that's the beauty of Anne, and I don't know what the hell she was doing her whole life, but she's like, never heard of it. And I went through every mother effer in that room and everyone, and there's literally eight people to me. No one ever heard of it. Anderson, all of them.
Well, I'll stand by you, comrade.
Thank you.
Lidsville was a spinoff of H.R. Puffin.
That's
stuff.
What I was yelling at them. All right, Michael?
Yeah.
Is this the guy?
He's there. All right. What's up?
Hello. Yeah. Talk to you?
Yeah, Michael. Michael?
Oh, no, boy. That's it for you, Michael. Sorry, Michael. Buddy. I know you're busy, but so are we.
Put three on hold, please.
You, who do you want to talk to?
Three. Damien, put on hold.
Damien's there not listening. He's too busy not remembering Lidsville. Yeah. Okay, Drew, don't be an idiot. Layla?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I want to talk to Dr. Drew about how to get psychiatric help when you're, like, on a budget.
On a budget or... Nothing.
Basically nothing.
Well, L.A. County, right? They're mental health services, but you really, it's hard to get more than a couple, it's pretty cumbersome, hard to get more than a couple of visits.
What's your problem?
Well, I go through these episodes where just like really depressed for a couple of weeks, sometimes a couple of months at a time.
Mm.
And, you know, then it gets better for a little bit and I kind of feel it coming back on.
Uh-huh.
And it's seems like it's getting progressively worse.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you live in Los Angeles. There's a teaching institution over in Pasadena called Fuller Theological Seminary that has prorated and very inexpensive services. They're really quite good. So you go to Fuller Theological Seminary, but I do think you ought to also see a physician, A, to make sure there's not a medical cause of this, and B, to see if medication might not be of help also.
Okay.
Okay? And that's what I would say, Fuller, and then also check in with the county services.
Okay. Hey, Layla?
Yes.
Here's what you got to do, too, if you're depressed. I was depressed too. You gotta start walking. You gotta go on walks. You gotta force yourself.
Before Adam with listening to the classical music and
you gotta listen to classical music and walk. You're only so depressed when you're walking and listening to classical music. You can only dip so low.
But you have made a point though that you should be figuring out what your sort of your passion is, what you want to do, and do it.
Yeah. Well,
at least leave time for it.
Here's the thing about depression. It's a cycle. And what it first thing it does is zaps you of your energy. And then the second thing it does is make you want to do things that you know you shouldn't do that are bad for you. And it could be nap, smoke weed, or just eat chocolate. So you give in to that. And each time you give into it, you sink a little deeper, and it makes it a little harder to climb out of it. And what you got to do is you got to go, I feel like ass. I don't want to get out of bed. I want to eat a box of Count Chocula, smoke a bong load, and watch Lidsville and call in sick to work. But you have to, like, pry yourself up and force yourself to start moving. And it's almost like you've injured yourself in a car wreck, and all you want to do is spend time in bed and recoup, and you got to go to rehab. And it's painful, and it's awkward. You just... literally have to force yourself like it's rehab. Like, you see those poor people on the treadmill and they're like falling over and stuff. They want to be in bed. They should be in bed. They got an injury. But if you stay in bed, your leg will never work again. And it's the same thing. And not everyone has money for a psychologist or therapist or what have you. But I'm telling you, the best thing you can do for yourself is to get some exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give in to whatever bad thing you want to do, like I said, whether it's taking a nap or having a bong load, and just start getting out and moving. I mean, you're not really depressed when you're moving around, if you think about it. I mean, you ever been depressed when you're playing racquetball?
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Drew has. But that was in the late 70s.
That was in the late 70s. Absolutely.
Everyone was depressed.
Absolutely. That's when it was.
Because it was the height of the whole racquetball. You were depressed.
We were playing squash, actually.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Jeff and Kai are both here from Cannonball Run 2001. And when we come back, we'll talk to Nicole, who has asymmetry in her boobs. She claims one is an A cup and the other is a D cup. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
There's such a thing.
There's such a thing, but I don't believe it. But we'll talk to Nicole after this.
Bouncy. Oh, yes! Love Line. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Jeff and Kai are both here. Going to be in the Cannonball Run 2001, which is airing on the USA Network coming up this Sunday, 10 o'clock, and going five nights in a row. Going New York to L.A., and at the end of the five nights, someone will be awarded $100,000.
Could be me.
It could be, but now we don't think it is.
I actually decided it wasn't you guys when you said, well, you can get 75, and if you bring something over the... I don't know.
I think the lowrider car wins. I'm just playing a hunch. Nicole?
Yes?
You're 15?
16.
16. You say you have an A cup and a D cup?
Yeah, I have a large A and a small D.
Right, so it's more B and C.
Kind of.
All right, what's the question?
Well, now, do you have to have your bras made?
No, I usually use padding in one side.
So do you use a D cup bra or a C cup bra?
D cup.
You buy a D cup.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, so I'd date your right side or left side, whichever.
Asymmetry of all types are very common, whether there's something directional, something's pointing in the wrong direction, or a size differential. These are very, very common.
I have one nut that drags on the ground and the other one that hides in my left nostril.
I didn't mean to talk to you about that one on the ground.
It's true.
It sort of scares me when you're driving out.
Sparks come out of it when I jog.
But... Nicole, again, you're 15. There's still some time for development. This may sort of improve as time goes along.
I'm 16. And,
I beg your pardon.
Sorry. Yes?
It's just that it's been like this for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. All right, it may be permanent, and that's normal.
Well, Drew, would you say this, that there's the one is always going to be bigger.
Probably.
But it may not be as much pronounced. Bigger as it is now. Things have a way of evening out, and I bet.
And after childbearing, things have a way of changing again.
Right. All right, so Nicole, you should probably live with it for a couple of years, and then if it's still the same way when you're 18, then maybe start thinking about some sort of plastic surgery if it's bothering you.
Yeah.
Is it a big deal if people said anything about it?
Yeah.
The boyfriends?
Oh, my boyfriend, he doesn't care.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's just that it bothers me.
All right, well, if 18, 19, you're still very troubled, you could talk to someone about that.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Right. And listen, whatever doesn't bother your boyfriend shouldn't bother you physically. Right. That's always been my motto.
There you go.
Well, it bothers me because I have to wear things with bathing suits or always wear a shirt when I'm swimming or something.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I could understand that being a little awkward.
Yeah.
But we all have our crosses to bear.
Okay.
You know.
Nobody's perfect, don't worry.
Right. Except for Kaya over here. And other than that, no one is perfect.
Okay.
All right. Good times, baby.
Okay.
Think of all the other things that could be wrong with you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Take care. Let's talk to Eric. Eric?
Hi there.
Hey, you're 39, is that say, Drew?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, probably your oldest listener. Listen, okay, first of all, I've got a real important question regarding servicing a woman or pleasuring a woman orally. But before I get to that, I can do your Muttley laugh.
Oh, good.
All right.
Let's hear it.
And you being connoisseurs old enough to remember, you'll know this is a good one.
All right.
Here it comes.
That's it. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I can do
that's
that.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Was he on the Laugh Olympics, that particular? Remember Laugh Olympics?
All right, Nick, what's your question? We got just a couple minutes here.
All right. You're all the time telling us to service or pleasure women orally, but yet you're not addressing the fact that there is a health risk. How are we supposed to do it safely?
Well, they have a dental dam, but that's sort of impractical. No one seems to use that.
I mean,
that.
He was talking about we shouldn't be raising the bar, and yet you're telling everybody to service their women orally. That raises the bar. That's another issue I have.
You shouldn't raise the
bar.
It's
not safe, and it raises the bar.
Well, I was talking about not raising the bar.
Yeah. You mean if everyone, all the guys do that, then the guys are going to have to do that.
I talk to a lot of guys whose penis does not function very well. They say it's too small, or it goes off too quickly, or it doesn't work. I then, as a consolation, say to them, don't focus on it because it ain't working. Focus on the oral. Women like that more anyway. I don't tell every guy to do this. I tell the guys who have problems in other departments, namely their genitalia. But as far as it would be safer to just have oral sex with a woman than it would be to have intercourse with her, right?
Possibly.
Well,
I'm not sure it's been proven.
You can't get her pregnant.
To my knowledge, it's only been proven that you can get HIV from being the receptive partner in oral sex from a male. In other words, you're receiving something from a man.
Oh, I
orally,
see.
Then you can get HIV.
If you're receiving something from a man, so the woman, you mean, or another man?
Well, whichever.
No, but then you all
wait, hold on a second.
If your mouth is around a penis, you're the one at risk.
I am.
Okay. Well, you are, Adam. Yes. You.
I would be.
Yes.
Because of that session, or because I'm just likelier to get it in the can 10 minutes
later?
No,
because of that session.
Oh, okay, all right. Just
but there's
doing
also
the math.
Concern over herpes.
Yes.
Herpes about your mouth giving her herpes. That's certainly a real possibility.
My mouth getting herpes from her.
Yeah, right. You're more likely to give it to her.
Okay, so listen, Eric.
Yes?
Not a way to go through life, though. If you want to use that dental dam, that's fine.
Well, what about the raising bar issue? You have in the past mentioned about guys who raise the bar.
You pansy!
Listen, Eric, if I thought you were serious and not just a jack-off, I'd get into answering your question, but I've labeled you a jack-off. And listen, this dental dam, which is basically a condom that you use for oral sex, it's like when you go to the meat section of the supermarket,
right?
It would be like trying to eat the steak through the saran wrap. You get that much pleasure out of it.
Hey, there's somebody named Dane 17 online whose girlfriend missed 2 pills last week. He wants to be able to have sex with her. She should have doubled up for the subsequent 2 days. Even then, for the rest of this packet, use a condom.
Okay, until she's done with the packet, then gets back with the new packet.
That's right.
All right, we'll take a break.
Hello, this is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
All right, well, there you go. Another fabulous episode of Loveline.
Let's see, we've waxed on about high school football, about cartoons in our childhood. Anything else we missed here, Adam?
Nope.
No, we got it all in.
Not
That's
that
good.
I'm aware of.
These gentlemen are surely impressed by the show tonight. These poor guys. Like, who are these guys talking about their high school years?
You guys thought we did a radio show before you got here, didn't you?
Who are these guys? They've been together 6 years. What are they talking about?
Well, that's the point. We're bored now, Drew.
I guess that's it.
All right, I want to thank Jeff and Kai for coming in here from Cannonball Run 2001.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys were great. USA Network, everybody, coming up this Sunday, 10 o'clock. Do not miss it. And Harlan Williams will be in here tomorrow night. Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.